According to a survey just released, 9 out of 10 Australians believe it's important to talk about what they'd like to happen and not happen to them at the end of their lives. But very few of them do. One result can be that your death is not what you'd have wished, and an extraordinary amount of futile treatments occur at a time when doctors should know that death is imminent. This week marks the beginning of a national campaign to encourage us all to, and I quote, have dinner and discuss death. It's called Death Over Dinner, and it's about having conversations with the people closest to you about what you'd prefer to happen to you at the end of life. In the United States, where Death Over Dinner began about 3 years ago, they claim that over 500,000 people have participated. One of the co-founders is Michael Hebb, and he's in the studio with me. Welcome to Australia and the Health Report, Michael.
It's great to be here.
Now, you've got a bit of form here with dinners. You've been doing dinners for a while in lots of different ways.
Yeah, I think about 20 years in, I'm bringing people together around the dinner table.
So what have you in the past brought people together around the dinner table about?
Gosh, as many topics as you can imagine. But generally, the most critical issues we face, I've brought leaders together to talk about genocide and homelessness and wealth disparity, pretty much just the gnarly stuff.
And with results?
Incredible results.
Such as?
Well, let's see. One dinner was President Paul Kagame and President Mary Robinson as part of the Clinton Global Initiative. And that was about 6 years ago. And about 3 years after the dinner, President Mary Robinson was taking over as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the Great Lakes region of East Africa. Now, it's not, I can't say that the dinner is the only reason that that relationship started, but you do see that dinners not only spark important issues, but they also build lasting and profound relationships.
And did you have a personal experience that stimulated death over dinner?
Well, yeah, I mean, many, but when I was I was 12, I lost my father to Alzheimer's.
So he was young?
He actually wasn't. He was 72 when I was born. And he was diagnosed when I was about 8. And the last 4 years of his life, I spent very little time with him. And I really attribute to that to the fact that our family didn't know how to talk about his illness. And so I missed the opportunity to really know my father at a critical point.
So you didn't want that to happen to other people. Yeah. So tell me about Death Over Dinner.
Well, Death Over Dinner started when I wanted to extend the table. The table is very finite, right? And I have these amazing experiences around the globe bringing people together. And then I wanted to, create a project that could reach, millions and spark important and profound conversations over the dinner table. Because in America, there's a statistic that really stopped me cold. Well, a couple. One, 20% of American meals are eaten in the car. Which speaks to the kind of a death of dining culture. Mm. The other one that really informed death as our first topic for this digital platform to get people to eat together was that 75% of people want to die at home in America, yet only 25% of them do.
So the statistics are similar here. I think it's even fewer people die at home compared to those who want to.
Yeah, Australia's a little bit behind in that factor. But so it just seemed like conversation could actually have an impact on those numbers and those lives that those numbers touch.
So tell me how it works.
So it's a beautiful website that asks you a series of very simple questions and invites you to plan a test dinner. So for those of you a little, anxious by the idea.
What do you eat at a death dinner?
Well, I would say something that doesn't stress you out as far as something cooking.
Comfort food.
Comfort food, yeah, exactly. Mac and cheese, maybe. The site is very easy to use. It just asks you who you might want to have at dinner and why you might want to have one of these dinners. What is your intention is what we call it. So are you yourself terminally ill or someone you know? Or did you lose somebody recently and perhaps you're grieving? Or maybe you just want to be prepared.
So you register on your website, or you don't have to, but you just get the tip for it to do. I mean, what's
yeah? So you put in your email. We don't do anything with the emails other than send you an email that says, "Here's your intention, and given that intention, and here's the homework you chose for your guests on the site."
So it's like getting a commitment from them.
It's very, very simple, yeah. And then you have invitation material you can send, and then you have conversational prompts that will lead you through how to have.
Oh, so you give them a script.
We give them a script, so you can actually blame us.
Give me a typical script.
It might start with a very simple icebreaker.
Do people know what they're coming to?
Yeah, well, I suggest that you let people know.
Right.
This is not like, you thought you were coming to pizza night, and lo and behold. So yeah, there's a script, and you have a very simple icebreaker. Like, I say simple, but what song would you want at your memorial, and who would sing it if you could have anyone?
So you ask this of your guests?
You ask this of your guests and yourself. And so everyone goes around to the answer these very, like, they're actually Socratic questions. So they're just meant for us to examine our own wishes and dreams and goals, essentially, for end of life. And they're not morbid dinners, Norman. I mean, it's a little bit of a misnomer. These actually are, these dinners are much more about life.
So how do you get to the point, because you're having it because you want the people who might be at the bedside when you've lost capacity to make decision for you. Just give me the script for the transition to, well, folks, this is what I want for me.
Well, I think that by having everyone answer these questions as opposed to just, you know, a straight intervention, you get to hear from what everybody would want. And so you create a culture of having these conversations in your family.
And so you don't expect to solve it all in one dinner?
No, and Death Over Dinner is just, and it's deathoverdinner.org.au because we rebuilt it for Australia. And it's not meant to be the full solution. We need a lot of help changing the culture.
So you might need a lot of pizza just to get
there. Yeah, a lot of pizza nights, yeah.
Now, we probably wear our hearts less on our sleeves than you Americans. Will it work in Australia, you think?
I think so. I mean, it's an iterative project. So we can go back in and change the conversational prompts if they're just falling flat.
Mate. Yeah. And the other part of this, when, you know, so the, I mean, the palliative care people say, or intensive care people say, you know, your family needs to know what your wishes are. And that's as important as the legal document, your statutory declaration about what you would like your, at the end of life. How important is it to transition to the legal document after having had the discussion over dinner?
I think both are critical. I mean, the legal document is not a living, breathing document. It's not nuanced. And so I think you want your family to know, you know, as many of the nuanced details.
And have you had feedback? I mean, it's only 3 years from people who or families who've been in the situation and it's made a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. It's changed whole family structures around this conversation and how people have died.
So it has made a difference?
It has made a difference, I think, profoundly.
So deathoverdinner.org.au is the website. Have a look and buy in the pizza or the chicken soup and enjoy yourselves. Michael Hebb, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And have great dinners, people.
Thanks. Michael Hebb is co-founder of Death Over Dinner, and for more details, we'll have that website on the Health Reports, which you can get to via Radio National.